From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. And we begin this hour with the challenges President Bush faces as he visits Israel this week. Today he addressed a joint session of the Israeli parliament and called for hard choices necessary for peace. But a majority on both sides of the divide now view the peace process with enormous skepticism. Even moderate Palestinians are questioning the basic idea of a two-state solution with Israelis and Palestinians living side by side. From Jerusalem, NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Near the northern West Bank village of Beit Farik, an Israeli military checkpoint blocks a back road into the Palestinian city of Nablus. 50-year-old Aisha Abdul Karim, a diminutive Palestinian woman from the village, walks across a rocky olive grove with a giant satchel perched on her head. As she approaches the checkpoint, Israeli soldiers in full body armor stand behind thick cement barricades. A blue and white Israeli flag flutters above a gun tower. A few soldiers sling their M16s across their backs as they search cars, bags, and bodies, while others stand guard. Israel says these checkpoints are vital for state security. Aisha Abdul Karim, a farmer's wife, calls it the daily checkpoint grind.
Some days are easy, some days difficult. Other days are very difficult. It all really depends on the temperament and mood of the soldiers.
On this day, a baby-faced Israeli soldier seems to recognize Aisha. She presses the buzzer, what some Palestinians call the God finger, releasing a metal turnstile and allowing Aisha to pass through the first of a series of metal gates. Aisha's bag is then carefully searched by hand. 41 years after Israel captured the West Bank of the Jordan River in the Six-Day War, the banal routine of occupation is ingrained. Aisha, who's on her way to visit a relative near Nablus, seems resigned and defeated.
We've been living under occupation for the last 40 years. What can we do? We've gotten used to it.
Nearby, Israeli Naomi Levite, a retired schoolteacher, carefully watches every interaction at the checkpoint and jots down any delays or problems in a notebook.
Occupation feeds the hate. The whole occupation. It gets deeper and deeper, the hate.
Levite is with Checkpoint Watch, a group of Israeli women peace activists who volunteer to monitor some of what United Nations officials here say are now more than 600 Israeli obstacles to movement in the West Bank. Checkpoints, roadblocks, road barriers, earthen walls, and mounds. Levite, the retired schoolteacher, says she monitors the checkpoints to protest, to document, and to try to reach out to even one Palestinian who might only know Israelis through the heavily armed soldiers at the checkpoints.
And I know exactly that a minute later after I leave or an hour later it can be the same or worse, and I'm not doing who knows what. But what can I? I am an old woman. What can I do? And I have the feeling I have to do something.
It's not just the checkpoints. Palestinians and UN officials complain that continued expansion of Jewish settlements, the wall and barrier Israel is building in and around the West Bank, what Israel calls the security fence, and the checkpoints continue to slice the West Bank and villages around Jerusalem into separate cantons that undermine chances for a viable two-state solution. Ismail Hadan is the council president of Bido, a Palestinian village on the northwest outskirts of Jerusalem. He points to a new Israeli tunnel road that Palestinians in nine villages around Bido now must use to get to and from Jerusalem. Palestinians from here are not allowed on sections of a nearby Israeli highway.
This is a great example how villages like the ones we're standing here are cut off from the main cities, and how the whole homeland is being cut into isolated areas.
This Palestinian bypass tunnel road is the subject of several lawsuits in Israeli courts. Palestinians are suing for better access to Muslim holy sites in Jerusalem and for access to the nearby Israeli highway. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says their extensive surveys show that Israeli infrastructure in the West Bank today, including settlements, restricted roads, military posts, and closed military areas and more, now take up nearly 40% of the West Bank and put those areas largely off limits to Palestinians, according to the UN. Abdel Nasser al-Najjar, the managing editor of the Palestinian newspaper Al Ayam, says all this fragmentation of the West Bank, combined with the takeover of the Gaza Strip by Hamas, have put the peace process on life support.
On life support, because there is no peace to the two states now. Gaza Strip divided from the West Bank, the wall, the settlements, the economic situation here means there is no opportunity for the two states to live together.
Add to those fears the conundrum of the Gaza Strip, controlled by the militant Islamists of Hamas, firmly opposed to a two-state solution and dedicated to Israel's destruction. All these gloomy facts have some Palestinian moderates trying to give new life to a very old idea, a single state for Jews and Arabs in historic Palestine.
The one-state solution is the solution, and the two-state solution is a dream.
For years, Hazem Qawasemi, an economist and former Palestinian Authority official, promoted the two-state goal, one Jewish, one Palestinian, living side by side in peace. But after the failure of the Oslo Accords, two Palestinian uprisings, and the Hamas takeover of Gaza, Qawasemi has thrown in the towel.
My conclusion, after 15 years working with Israelis, that the two-state solution is not going to happen. If you talk about the two-state solution in the Palestinian streets today, you will look as an idiot.
Qawasemi has just founded a new group in Ramallah called the One State Forum. Reviving the one-state idea is somewhat radical. After all, militant groups Hamas and Islamic Jihad have their own one-state goals, using force to create an Islamist state with an Arab majority, reclaiming historic Palestine from the Jews. But Qawasemi says he's promoting a progressive secular version of one state. A unified binational democracy, Qawasemi insists, will attract Israelis eager to shed the weight and trouble of occupation and fend off rising Islamist radicalism in the region.
We're talking about democracy. One person, one vote, equal economic, political rights. We're talking about equal rights. We're talking about no difference between Jew, Muslim, or Christian in one democratic state.
Israeli officials have long dismissed the one-state idea as demographic suicide that would undermine the Jewish majority and character of the country. As Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said in an interview with the Israeli newspaper Haaretz earlier this year, quote, if the day comes when the two-state solution collapses and we face a South African-style struggle for equal voting rights, the state of Israel is finished, Olmert said. Israeli political studies professor Gerald Steinberg says Palestinian leaders were never enthusiastic about a two-state solution. No Palestinian leader, he notes, has ever relinquished the demand for the right of return for Palestinian refugees from the 1948 war.
Because the Palestinians have to say, we accept the right of the Jews to have sovereignty in part of this land, something that was never accepted 60 years ago, and that's been the core of the conflict since then. That change has not taken place in Palestinian society. And so since there was never really an acceptance of a two-state solution, now talking about missing the window for a two-state solution is really a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Two states will happen, Steinberg predicts, only when there is ripeness, recognition by both Palestinians and Israelis that all other options are far worse. And despite the fanfare of President Bush's current visit, he says, we're just not there yet. But it appears that some Palestinians are now turning from efforts to create an independent state toward renewed calls for equal rights in one state. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Jerusalem.